This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
You have come this today again. We have come and submit under you. Jesus, you are the head of the church. Holy Ghost, you are the overseer of the church. You oversee the church. We have looked up to you. Our faith shall be lightened. We have called on you, Jesus. You will raise us up. Thank you for the administration of the Spirit of God. Thank you for liberty. Thank you for your working within us. We honor you, Jesus. Therefore, the angel that have kept this house and is working, your angel of your presence. Thank you, my Father. Honor you, Jesus. Glory to you, our Father. Thank you, my Father. I come under you, Jesus. I submit to you, the Holy Ghost. I ask that you will speak again. You will come to us particularly, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, because you are here to unveil yourself to us. Jesus, may we see you, Jesus. May we see your Father, Jesus. May we see your God, Jesus. Open our eyes to see Jesus. Open our eyes, we want to see Jesus. When we see Jesus, we see the Father. And we see our God. Thank you, my Father. Honor to you, Son of God. Glory be to you, my Father. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The theme for this year, Way of the Outcome meeting, is My Father's Business, O Duty of Man. Let's read from John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. So we can see that there is the thief and there are thieves. When you read the book of Matthew chapter 6, you will see thieves. Matthew 6 from 19. Lay not for yourself treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Verse 20. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So we can see here, I've read for us in John chapter 10. I've read for us also Matthew chapter 6. So we saw in John chapter 10 that the thief come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. They call it the thief. So there's the thief. But there are thieves. And what the thief specializes on is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But there are thieves that what they specialize on is to steal alone. But beyond stealing, we saw in that Matthew 6 that there are other elements or other invaders that he called mount and rust. What they do, they corrupt. What their primary duty is to corrupt. So you can see that the thief has a business. He has an occupation. He has engagement that he does. You also see that the thieves also are what they do. And Jesus, in the middle of him saying that the thief cometh to steal, to kill, and to destroy, Jesus is introduced his own task or business that he does. He said that he has come that you might have life, and you should have it what? Abundantly. So it's very clear that what the thief is interested in stealing is not our cars. They are not things that are treasures of the earth. You remember that in that Matthew chapter 7. There was a charge there that we should not lay for ourselves treasures here on earth. But rather, we should lay our treasures where? So treasures in heaven. So definitely we know that there are what earth called treasures, which in heaven's eyes, those things are not treasures. And when they are talking about in heaven, they are not talking about where angels are resident. Because that word treasures in heaven is not talking about the heavenly plane of heavenly beings. That is heaven. But we have to know that heaven is not only a place. Heaven is also a life. So heaven is a place. But much more, heaven is life. Yes, we find that in the book of Philippians chapter 3 verse 20. It says, for our conversation or our life is in heaven, whereas we look for Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, in Revelation chapter 12, rejoice for rejoice, ye heavens. But not just ye heavens alone that should rejoice. Comma. And ye that dwell therein. So you can see that being that dwell in heaven are also heavenly. So you can be sure that Lucifer that fell was a corrupted heaven that fell. It was a perverted heaven that fell. What came to us on earth was a disobedient heaven that came to us. And when it came to us, it came to perpetuate a manner of disobedience, which is obedient that he has taught men to do. So we can see clearly that there are heaven and there are inhabitants that dwell therein. And those inhabitants themselves are heavens themselves. So here, in that book of Matthew, they said, lay off for yourself treasures in heaven. So you can see that when Jesus was teaching also, in the book of Matthew, he said, it is not what enter into a man that defileth a man. In Matthew chapter 15, do you not yet understand that whatsoever enter in at the mouth, go into the belly, and is cast into the draught. But those things which proceed out of the mouth, coming out from the heart. So I'm not talking about your biological heart. I'm not talking about the heart of your outward man. Say, my outward man.
My outward man.
As his heart.
As his heart.
And the instrument of the outward heart is to plump blood and to receive air into it. And so air can carry blood circulation. But your inward man,
also has his heart. So the heart of our inward man is heaven in the heart. So our heart is a copy of heaven inside man. Like those angels, they are heaven because of who they are according to their hearts. So heaven is in the heart. And so because of that, heaven in the heart can either be a corrupted and defiled heaven, or the heaven in the heart can be good heaven. The heaven in a man's heart can be corrupt and defiled. And the heaven in a man's heart can be good and upright, or good and righteous. In 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter was talking and said beautifully that we are looking for a new heaven where righteousness what dwells. So our vocation, he said, what we are looking for is a new heaven. And he said, what that new heaven holds is righteousness dwell therein. What is righteousness? Righteousness is the nature of God. Why did I say righteousness is the nature of God? Because righteousness is the law of God. There can never be a nature without a law. What informs a nature is the law of that nature. So the nature of righteousness in God is by reason of the law of righteousness that made up God. You hear in the book of Hebrews chapter 6. You hear, for God is not unrighteous. So unrighteousness is the opposite of righteousness. For God is not. But by the reason of the makeup of God, God is not unrighteous. So if God is not unrighteous, God is righteous. In fact, in Jeremiah, he said, the law, our righteousness. So you can see that a man can have in his heart heaven that is corrupt and heaven that is righteous. And why? What a man has as heaven in his heart is so very, very important. He said it's that guard your heart with all diligence. From out of it flow issues of life. So it's very, very clear. So if from the heart issues of life can flow from it, then from heart issues of death can flow. So for the heart of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Then in the book of James and Proverbs say, for life and death is in the power, and every man will reach it of it devil. So what he called treasure there is either life or death. So death is a treasure, just as life is a treasure. So when he said, lay off for yourself treasure in heaven, I know it's very, very true for us to say, when we give offering, when we walk in love, when we take care of the afflicted, when we celebrate our own that are believer, when we identify with those who are afflicted, when the reproach of them that are reproached fall upon us, I know that we are laying all summer treasure for ourselves. But much more, what heaven called treasure is life. How God see treasure is either life or death. Death is not primarily. When a man falls down and stops breathing, what has only happened is that the outward man has ceased having breath to run it. But that does not mean that that man is not alive somewhere. Even when this body sees it, that man is alive. We all saw the story about Lazarus and the rich man. That when you put on this body, that's not the end of your life. The rich man will continue living somewhere. and he was having conversation, he does not lose his memory. What he has lived, though the outward man, the organ, the heart, the lungs, the circulatory system are no longer working, they are all shut down. But everything he has trapped in his heart, because the heart is an integral part of the soul, and the mind is an integral part of the soul. He never lost his mind. He never lost his heart. So things that he treasured in his heart and what he has kept in his mind was still very active. The way he was seeing Lazarus when he was upon the earth, the same way he was still seeing Lazarus even in death. He was still telling Father Abraham to send Lazarus to go and tell his brethren, because Lazarus has always been a beggar, to bring water to him. And it was not only Lazarus alone that was Father Abraham, but also the other people there. Yes, so what we call life, it has to do with the way treasure that the mind has kept. Proverbs was teaching, instead for there is a way that seemeth good to man. So it seemeth good. Where does it seem good? It's in his mind. It's what seemeth good to his mind. It's what seemeth good to his heart. He said, well, that way, they are the ways of death. So, what are ways? Ways are convictions of the heart. Ways are persuasions of the heart. Ways are value systems of the heart. Ways are belief system of the heart. Ways are thought process of the heart and the mind. Those things are ways, and those things are treasures. So when you hear the word treasures, your treasures are your belief system. Your treasure are your value system. You can do anything because you have a value system. There are many people that even when someone fear God, someone honor God, someone honor spiritual authority, and someone love them truly, that they will not still marry the person. And what will not make them to marry that brother, that sister, is because of the value system or what they want. So you can see that value system is a high treasure that was very, very high than all that value that is in that person. That person feared the Lord. That person loved them. That person honors your authority. He loved brotherhood. But there's something that they want that's what the person don't have that will not make them. So that value system that they uphold is a treasure. So treasures are your value system. Treasures are your thought process. Treasures are your beliefs. Treasures are your convictions. Treasures are your persuasions. All these things that are treasure are what divine life and the divine life to you, and also the divine death to a man. Death is another life that have been propagated for mankind. Men love death. When I say men love death, 1 Peter chapter 3, 8. Finally, be of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not ending evil for evil or really for really. But contrawise blessing. Don't end evil for evil. Don't do really for really. Really mean you rake for me, I rake back to you. You rough undo me, I rough undo you. Truth for a truth, mouth for mouth. Do not do that. We say, but contrawise blessing. Knowing that you are there unto call, that you should what? Inherit a blessing. What is the blessing? Life. Blessing is life. So you remember in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses called the children of Israel when he was summarizing the whole journey. He said, I show you this day life and death, blessing and cursing, good and evil. He said, and I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, For I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed might live. The people that were saying they should choose life, were they not breathing? What is Moses talking about? Then people, these people are breathing. What does it mean to choose life? That means you might be breathing and be not ready to choose life. You might not choose life. If you have to choose life, it shows that life must be real to you. That is a thing I should make a choice of. Because what determines how a man makes choices are his value system. A man will not choose what he does not value. A man will never choose what he does not believe in. A man will not choose what he does not play high premium on. So, he said, I call heaven and earth before you. So, there is a place of heaven. So, I call heaven and earth against you. That you should choose life. That's what Jesus has come to give life. And give more. And give abundance. A man may not be interested in what Jesus gives. A man may not be interested in choosing life. A man may choose death. Because death is another kind of life. Yeah. If death is not a treasure, man will not choose it. Joker was teaching the book of John chapter 3 from verse 17 downward. He said, men love darkness rather than light. So, because I'm quoting this scripture because of 1 Peter chapter 7. Contrabass blessing. Then give me 10, 11. For he that will love life, if you will love life. So it's not easy to love life. Nobody arrives at love at once. What do I mean? Because to love, you must study the nature of women. It's women that we love easily. Women don't just love anyhow. There are things you must do to make a man love. So it's not easy. So if you are thinking for a soul to love life, you have to think about a woman's soul. A woman cannot love until she believes in you. I'm talking about love is not a thing you arrive at easily. In fact, love is the end of the commandments. Love is the end. To arrive at love, things must have happened. Yoruba will say, many waters are passed under the bridge. Then, there must be belief first. Then, that belief, there must be knowing you to a level. You men, we don't need to know to fall in love. We just need to see and believe and love. But that is not how women are designed. So if you want to design how our soul is likened to a woman. The behavior, the manner of women's soul, the way lady behave, that's how our souls are. It's not, you don't just say, I love life. No. Nobody loves life. When you become born again, you don't love life. You love other things. During the art reflection, one of the things that was said is that one of the things that choke the seed is love, desire for other things. There's a love and desire for other things. So, there are other things, and those other things that they are desire and love, they are what the earth or the heaven inside see as its own treasures. So, you must know that for us to know that when Jesus Christ came, say, the thief cometh to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life. People will ask, what is life to me when there's no other things? That was the problem of the young rich ruler. They told him to sell other things. And he will enter into life. He went sorrowing. That's the scenario. First scenario, that think that what is life without other things? There's a second scenario that Paul, apostle, was teaching in book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. Is that godliness is having money and other things. That is summary of what Paul was teaching in that 1 Timothy chapter 6. That what is the purpose of you say godliness? Because godliness is a life that you attain having denied the worldly lusts. No soul can attain godliness if you are not denying worldly lusts. So what is contending with a man is worldly lust. Against attainment of godly lust. Because godliness is an attainment of a life. Godliness is for a man to be governed by the life of God. When you say a man is godly, he is governed by the life of God. And I say the life of God, that man is governed by a nature of God. And by the nature, and that nature is called godliness. Godliness is a nature. And because a nature is a law. You know what I said? You cannot talk about a nature without a law. Law made up nature. And if there's a law, every law has life in himself. Romans chapter 8 from verse 1 and 2. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So we can see that a man don't just love life like Peter said. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him ensure evil and do good and let him seek peace and ensure it. I don't want to say you're to love life. So Moses called the children of Israel. I said, today I call heaven and earth against you. That they will bear record of this. That I've said before you this day, life and death. Where did Moses get death from to say before you? How did he set death? Paul was talking into Galatian church. He said, oh, foolish Galatian, who will be with you? Before whose eyes Christ is evidently set forth. When a preacher is preaching, every preacher of the world, New Testament preacher of the world, when we preach, you exalt Christ. And when Christ, when men can see, men will see life and death. Because there's no way you will paint life that death will not be revealed. And that's how the devil also does. When God came in the garden, he planted in the garden the tree of life. But when the devil came, devil plants good and evil. So what is good? That Peter. For if a man will love life and see good. So the good there is life. When you say, when you hear good and evil, it's good and evil. Good there is life. Because you read it in that book of Deuteronomy. I said before you this day, life and death. Good. And what? And evil. Blessing and cursing. So good that Satan puts in the midst of the garden beside the tree of life is another life. Great God, how will you just make only one recommendation for man? It's only devil that has different things to offer. It's the thief that has agenda to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus Christ said, I have come that you may have life, have it more, have it all abundantly. But the devil said good and evil. And what he called evil there is another life. The people come out there. It's good and evil. It's like bread and butter. It's a combo. It's like sandwich. It's like burger bread. They must have bread on top and have somewhat meat inside and also burger on there. So it's good and evil. So when God planted the garden and put the tree of life there, Satan said, no. You cannot just put only life there for man. Because God does not have any other thing to offer except life. Paul was still in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. He said, if the father of your flesh chasten you for their own profit, won't you rather be subject to the father of spirit and live? For they verily chasten you for a few days after their own pleasure. For he, for our profit, our profit, that we should be partaker of holiness, what they call holiness there means this into separated life. Because holiness means separated. So a man can be breathing, but he has not find life. Psalm 16, from verse 10 and 11. For thou will not leave my soul in hell. This is Messiah's psalm that David broke into in the spirit. Because David was a prophet. And was a prophet that brought down heavenly conversations. David was a prophet that lived ahead of Jesus. Thou will not leave my soul. I've mentioned to you that what made up the soul as a human being is that the heart and the mind. And I said, in the soul on the earth is heaven. Say heaven.
Heaven.
What is heaven? Heaven simply means a place of abode or an exalted abode. Heaven means abode. Abode. And your heart is a place of abode.
Yes, sir.
Because your guy taught it. For all manner of things proceed out of the heart. There are things that are living in our heart. In Matthew 15, for those things which proceed out of the mouth, cometh from the heart. They defy the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. So where is the evil thought living? In the heart. So where is good thought living? Inside the heart. And you know that evil thought is heavenly falling property.
Yeah.
You know that, you know, evil thoughts are corrupted, falling heaven. You need to go and read Isaiah to understand that. Isaiah 14 from verse 12. How had I fallen, Lucifer? Oh, son of the morning. Ah, thy cut down to the ground with the wickedness nation. Want to go, everybody? Can you see? So he would said it in his heart. So, and these thoughts were evil thoughts. So every evil thought in the heart, so you can see, though he was in the physical heaven that God created, but there were transactions in his own heaven of his heart. So when you look at him in heaven, he looked cool and collected. But there were transactions taking place on his heaven of his heart. See, in the heavens of his heart, we are considering evil imagination. Just like Genesis 6. What happened to Satan? Satan turned men. He turned men on earth to that same thing. Say, for he repented God that he has made man. For the thought of the imagination of man's heart, we are evil continuous. Man eventually treasures so much corruption, evil upon earth. Because man has corrupted the will of the Lord. So the thief there is not another person, but the enemy of God and mankind. That is the thief. You remember in the parable of the sower, the thief come to steal. The seed that fell on the wayside, Matthew said, the birds of the air came and took it away. Use the word took away, Abby?
Yes, sir.
Then he said the wicked one carted it away. So how can you take away what does not belong to you? So you can see that somebody said the devil, someone said Satan. He used the word the wicked one. So we can see that come to take that which does not belong to him, that is a thief, is the devil. So Satan is the thief. And every other fallen spirit are thieves.
Wow.
When your guy was sitting in that Matthew 20, that Matthew 10, he said, the shepherd entered to the door. He said, but the thief come to where? Windows. To window. So what is window? Your mind. It's the first place the thief and thieves come through is the window of your mind.
And when they come to the window of your mind, you saw the way the thief came to steal from what? From Eve. As God said. As God said, he came to steal from me. As God said. And the same way, when he came to Jesus, the same way he came. Exactly the same method. When he came to Jesus. Before temptation, because look, I just finished hearing the open declaration. This is my beloved son, what? When he came out of Jordan, they didn't say hear him in Jordan. It was upon the Mount Olive that they hearing him. Then Jacob was driven by the spirit of the wilderness. And when he got there, the first thing that was said, and were yet hungered. The first temptation that came Jesus is against his mind. If thou be the Son of God, command this stone to bread. He came to contest the declaration of God or for Jesus. God said, you are my beloved son. Satan said, I don't believe you are a beloved son. How I know that your beloved son is turned stone to bread? If it's every one of us, we fall to that temptation. That God said, I'm a son of God. You don't believe? I will show you. I will show you who my God is. But you have just fall flat to temptation. You are just carrying out what they call showmanship. And showmanship is death. Showmanship. Showmanship is a promotion of self-life. Showmanship is a promotion of flesh. Showmanship is a way of this war. What this war does, they show up. In fact, they call it showbiz. So you can see, Satan has a business and he runs upon the air. He calls it showbiz. Showbiz is to show for a kind of glamour and a kind of lifestyle to mankind. So you know that showbiz is to promote a kind of life. Yeah. Whenever they are doing birthday, you see them, they come with carton of money and they are dropping it and they are dancing and the hype man is hyping it to promote it. So they call it showbiz. So you can see that it's the business of this war. And that showbiz has its glory and its glamour. Every Lollywood actor wants to find a seat on the table. But when you look at it, it does not seem that anything was wrong with it. It's different from the attitude of Lord Jesus Christ. That when his brothers and siblings were going to Jerusalem, they said, Jesus, would you go and show yourself? For no man doeth anything and is known by all men. Like I said, my time is not come. For your own time is here. But my own time has not come. That temptation, Satan was moving his brothers against him. That Joker could not come and do showbiz. Instead of him to come and do the father's business. To come and do showbiz. So this world is a manufacture of businesses, profession for men to do.
Yes, sir.
If you tarry enough in this world, you will run businesses that you should not be running. Because the world has many entanglements where the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, me, I only have one business. Is to make sure what you have life. You can't have if you have not been given. For no man had anything to say, I've been given to him. And if they have to give you life, they must give you from above. From above. So you can see that life is not just existing. Life is not just that you are breathing. Life is a way. Life is conversation. Life is standard. Life a value system. Life our commandments. Life our thoughts. Life our belief system. If death
are those things. Life is also those things. Life is law. Life is nature. So life is treasure. Life is treasures. But a man will not see life as a treasure until heaven show mercy to him. Nobody can tell the dead that you don't have life. When you see the dead lying down dead, say, you don't have life. He's not hearing you. That's why you can never speak to dead men. I would say, for whosoever love pleasure is dead, where is alive? He's breathing, but he's dead. He that liveth in pleasure, dead, why is alive? Why she's still living? She's living, but she's dead to something. She's dead to real life. And you cannot tell a man that's living in pleasure that is dead to him. He does not know that he's dead. So how can you help a man that is dead? That is one reason why we must never keep our mouth quiet, both in prayer, both in talking to many, our siblings, our colleagues at work, a lot of our neighbor, because they are dead. They do not know that they are dead. They are dead. And the dead does not know that he's dead. You cannot see the dead cover and say, you are dead, you are dead, you are dead. Don't think you are dead. You need life in there. He cannot hear you. Neither can he. That's why the church must pray. That's why the church must pray. That's why the church cannot keep quiet. When we see dead men on the streets, we see dead men in our offices, we see dead men in our neighborhood, we see dead men in our family, we cannot keep quiet. Yes, our first response to the dead is to pray for them. Must pray for the dead. We have a duty to pray for the dead. Because the dead cannot pray for themselves. When a man, life in the flesh is not real to a man, he's dead man, he does not know. He does not know that that's that. So we have to pray. We have to pray. Then not just only pray, we must not just stop in praying. We must pray for God to visit them with mercy. We must pray for God to send help to them. We must pray for God to measure what? Activity of Holy Ghost around them. Because Holy Ghost must go ahead of us. Holy Ghost must go ahead of people to go and start preparing them. Start bringing activities of things around them so that they will not keep on lying in their dead states. No Christian should be comfortable. No Christian should be smiling. When you have people that are not saved, born again, and Holy Ghost feel around you, and you are smiling, my brother, you don't know. You are not involved in what pains God. Those who Joker them die for, you are not interested in what Joker came to give to them. Then when you move from there, you even see many Christians that are born again, but they do not have light. They are ignorant. According to Ephesians chapter 17, 18, and 19, they live in with the vanity of the mind. They have their understanding darkened, and they are aliens. Alien means they are foreigner to the life of God. The life of God is foreign to them. What is near to them is this present life called death that Satan has sold to mankind. They are alien. They are foreigner to the life of God. Paul wrote to the church of Ephesians, it's not possible for people to be born again and be in the church and still be alien to God's life. Paul will not write it. He said, wherefore, brethren, I say, therefore, that I'm testifying in the Lord. Testifying it in the Lord. Those who are in the Lord. Who have believed the Lord, your Christ are the Lord. That you henceforth walk not like the Gentile walk in the vanity of their mind. Vanity of their mind. Having your understanding darkened, being alien from the life of God. So a man can be a pre-Christian and is alien from the life of God. So you must never watch many people that say they are Christian but are still alien to the life of God. They are foreigner to God's life. God's life to them is a foreign commodity. They are born again, but God's life is a foreign to them. They have not come to a place where they see God's life as the only treasure. God's life is not their priority. In that book of 1 Peter chapter 3, when he says, husband, dwell with your wife, he says later there, he says, for we are being called to inherit what? Inherit blessing. And what's the blessing? Is to inherit life. This is the seed that God wants you to inherit your father's business. Yes, what your father has put in his will is that for you to inherit. Every son look to see what is the will that their father has to give to them. What does my father? What does my father kept for me? What is my father's last year? My father has many treasure. If you see the will of your father, the will of your father is that none shall perish. What you have been called to inherit is that we have been called to inherit blessing, is to inherit blessing. And to inherit blessing is to inherit life. For then you are called that you should inherit a blessing. And to inherit a blessing is to inherit life. Jesus Christ came to a place where at the age of 12, Jesus was just a 12 years old boy. He knew what it means to be his father's business. Luke 2:41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover, and he was 12 years old. That 12 years old of Jesus physically was a spiritual age, of age of the Holy Ghost for him. 12 years old of Jesus the physical was a man with the name of the Holy Ghost. What the guy came at the age of 12 was what Stephen, Philip came into when they make them a deacon. Just has attained that thing at the age of 12. Because nobody can know the business life if he has not gained age of the Holy Ghost. The father business cannot be introduced to a carnal believer. Or will I use a man that have not been discipled by the Holy Ghost? So Jesus, the child Jesus that was talking about my father's business, was a child that Holy Ghost has raised. He has submitted himself to the tutelage of Holy Ghost. To age 12. And knew that through the activity of the Holy Ghost, the training of Holy Ghost, and the training of Holy Ghost had to do with commandments of faith and commandments of love for all the saints. The training of the child of Holy Ghost is for you to be able to be ready for the Father's business. The Father's business is a vision that every child of Holy Ghost will come into. You cannot see that vision of the Father's business until Holy Ghost has led you. You won't see it. That's why when he told his mother, don't you know I'm going to be after my father's business? That would say, for his parents, they marvel at his answer. And they don't understand it. So his parents were older than him, but they don't understand my father's business. They don't understand that sayings. Because though they are his parents, they don't have the stature of his soul. He had the stature of Holy Ghost, but they don't have it. So he could see the father's business as a child of Holy Ghost, a child of 12. Jesus knew what the father was doing. Because later he grew up into it in John 5, in John 6, as the father had life in himself. So he had given to the son to have life in himself. So Jesus, from the age of 12, knew what the father has and what the father wants to give. Just like I knew that what the father has is life. And what the father wants to give to every son of the father is life. What the father has an inheritance from every son that belongs to him is to give him life. When you see a man sick in the hospital, you don't go and buy G-Wagon 2028. Though you are in 2026, the one that they have not come, they have not appeared, you say, and you get limited vision for it, for heaven's sake. And it's not my own. It's those boys at Allstate that are talking about that one. What a guy that is seriously sick. What he needs is life. Yes, he needs health in his bones. So Jesus, from the age of 12, he was able to see. He does not have it yet. But he saw what the father had. He saw what the father does as a business. He saw what the father preoccupied his heart with, and he was interested in what the father was. And Satan thought that Joker was not serious. He came back to offer Jesus other things outside what the father had. He came to offer him the kingdom and the glory of this world. He said, I don't want it. I cannot trade off my father's business. The father's business is not doing evangelism. Evangelism is good. We are going to do it. But doing evangelism is not the father's business. The father's business is for you. You have been called to inherit life. As the father had life in himself, so you are given to the son to also have life in himself. Life of God is God's delivery of dominion to you. When God wants to give you dominion, God gives his life. A man without life does not have dominion. What is dominion? Dominion is a beaver to reign. He said it in Romans chapter 5, 21. For those who have received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness should reign in life. So God wants you to reign in life. That is a serious thing that God wants. If you reign on Aso Rock and you have not reigned over sin, you know the reigning. To reign in life is to reign over sin. To reign in life is to reign over corruption.
Yes, sir.
To reign in life is to reign over air. For that will not lead the soul of thy servant in air. Say, my soul in air. Neither shall you allow the body of your Holy One to see corruption. They need to show me path of life. They have to show you. The father had life in himself, and I'd give it to the son to have life in himself. But they have to show you. Later, when you begin to read that John chapter 5, later down, you begin to see. For what the son said, the father do it, likewise he himself do. And because of that, the father will love the son and show him what's why himself do it. And when he does it, the father will show the son marvelous things. We go show the greater works that everybody can marvel. Because the father kept on showing the son. So they need to show you the path of life. So he showed that you don't just find life. There's a path that leads to life. So what Jesus came to do, Jesus, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am life. No one cometh to the Father. And who is the Father? As the Father has life in himself. So Joker is a bridge, or Joker is a life to the life. Because as the Father has life in himself, so you are giving the Son to have life in himself. So when you say, I'm the way, the truth, and life, is that you need life that will connect to the life that is in the Father. And the life that is in the Father is the real business of every man. So we must be ready to transact with the Father's business. But just that you cannot transact with the Father's business until you find a path of life. They began to show that young rich ruler the path of life. To go and sell all what he had. To keep the commandments. Then he will enter into life. He will enter to the path that leads to life. He went away sorrowing because he had great possessions. So great possessions are great treasures. So you can see that the life that is available, great possession, that man have treasure at his life. Because that young ruler could not let it go because that thing was his life. He agreed on what Jokai thought. For the life of a man does not contain in the abundance of what he possesses. Say possesses. Luke 15. And he said unto them, take it and be of covetousness. For a man's life consist not, Alama. May your life not consist in possessions. Majority 99.9% of human people on earth, their life consists in what they possess. Mothers, your life does not consist in your child. Wife, your life does not consist in your husband. Sister, your life is not your husband. You and your husband are supposed to be heirs together of the grace of life. If your husband is not crossing the grace of life, that marriage has failed. You need urgent rescue. Urgent rescue. So we must look for life.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinwusinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.